Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juneau, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the flow of truth with the Divine Commissions. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. We are studying the Divine Commissions, and let me just briefly apologize for some of the rapid endings and beginnings of these programs as we're going through this series. Sometimes I just can't craft the material to fit exactly into half-hour message, so we have to rapidly end and almost just as rapidly begin. But we were examining the Divine Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and I gave it to you in a better translation. And Jesus, approaching them, spoke unto them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Going, therefore, disciple all the nations, relating them to the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all whatsoever I direct you. And lo, I am with you all the days, even to the consummation of the aeon." Now this passage, when honestly considered and interpreted, has nothing to do with God's salvation-bringing message, or with the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It did not have to do with the apostles' course of action in the Acts period, nor does it have anything to do with anyone's course of action in the present evil aeon. This directive has to do with that condition of things called the kingdom of God. And this commission will be performed to the letter in a time after Jesus Christ has taken to himself his great power and is exercising this in relationship to the earth. And that is when this commission will be fulfilled to the letter. This commission does not have to do with individuals, but with nations. It cannot be carried out until Jesus Christ asks of the Father, and the nations are given to him as his portion. As we read, he will ask in Psalm 2 and verse 8, and Psalm 82 and verse 8. He will ask the Father, and he will give him all nations as his portion. Now at that time, these 12 disciples to whom the Lord spoke this commission will serve God by sitting on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, as we read in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28. On these 12 thrones, they will be even more powerful than they were in the Acts period. Their power and ability then was in part. But at that time in the future kingdom of God, there will be no men on earth more respected, more famous, or more powerful than these 12 apostles will be. Now when the time comes when God governs the nations on earth, as that is beginning, nations will want to be related to the Lord. And these powerful men who will be sitting on 12 thrones serving as 12 great judges in Israel will go forth and relate nations to God in Christ and will instruct them of their divine responsibilities under God's government. But of course, it's only proper that we turn to Scripture to back all this up. And let's turn to the book of Psalms. Starting out with Psalm 67 in verse 4. Psalm 67 and verse 4 reads, "O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. The time will come when nations as such will say through their representatives, how can we be related to and live our lives in relationship to this one who is the King of the earth? The disciples will go forth in that day when he governs the nations on earth to relate and identify these nations with the character of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And they will have been given the ability to do so. Now let's go on in the book of Psalms and turn to Psalm 72, where we read in verse 11, yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. So all rulers will be subjected to him. And then we go down to verse 17 of Psalm 72. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. When that is a reality, these 12 will go forth to relate and identify these nations with Jesus Christ. Now, in law, there are laws on the books of most states in the United States that say that any man who is the head of a religious congregation has the authority to relate a man to a woman in the relationship that we call marriage. And as long as he is the head of some religious congregation, he is said to have that authority. But just think, the time is coming when 12 of the most powerful men on earth will have the right to relate nations to Jesus Christ. Now, just like a minister can turn down a couple, these 12 could turn down a nation if they were not yet right in their attitude and in their lives. They'll say, you will have to set things right before we can relate you to God in Christ. And this will be a reality, just as the Lord said. Continuing through the book of Psalms, Psalm 38 and verse 4. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Now, just like a true bride will rejoice in her relationship to a man, and if she is a true woman, she will seek to maintain and preserve that relationship, so these nations will rejoice in their relationship to Jesus Christ, and they will do everything they can to preserve that relationship. Now, moving on to one more passage, and this time let's look at Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 5. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 5, we read, surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. The time will come when these powerful men who are serving as the great judges in Israel, and there will be no man more respected or more glorified on earth than these men. The time will come when they will go forth to relate nations to God in Christ and instruct them regarding their responsibilities under God's government. For those who insist that these words commissioned the 12 to herald God's salvation-bringing message to men of all nations, there is one complete and total answer. Those to whom these words were spoken did not understand them this way. We are on safe and secure ground when we interpret these words in the same manner as they were understood by these spirit-filled, divinely possessed men, whose words were confirmed as truth by the God they were serving and by the Christ they were heralding. Who are we, 1900 years later, to say that they misunderstood or failed to obey his words because of some nationalistic attitude or prejudice in regard to the Gentiles? Well, let's move on to the commission in Mark. The commission recorded in Mark is not the same as that in Matthew. It was spoken to the same men, the 11 disciples, Judas being absent and Matthias not yet being added. But we have this commission in Mark 16, verses 15 through 20. Mark 16, 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Now this commission was performed and fulfilled to the letter in the 33 years of which the book of Acts is the history. The 11, in fact the 12 with Matthias added, did what they were told to do. And moreover, God did what he promised he would do. And if you doubt what I just said, well, verse 20 of Mark 16 is proof of it. Mark 16:20 reads, "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen." The three Greek words that are translated "to every creature" deserve careful study. These words are passe, P-A-S-E, te, T-E, katisie, K-T-I-S-E-I. And these words do not mean "to every creature." Passe is found in this exact form, and to the grammarians among you, that is dative, singular, feminine. It is found in this exact form 44 times in the New Testament, usually preceded by en, the Greek en, which means in, but not in this passage. I do believe that this should be translated "in the entire creation," as in Acts 7 and verse 22, 23 and verse 1, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, and Philippians 1 and verse 9. In these four passages, the translators felt it necessary to use the word "in" to render this dative case. Some may insist that these words mean "to every creature," and that this was a command to these 11 to go everywhere and preach to everyone without exception and without distinction. Let it be noted that the men who heard these words never understood them this way. The events of the early chapters of Acts make this plain, and we can do no better than to accept their understanding of these words. With the exception of Peter, these men limited their ministry to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was the way God wanted it, and that was the way they did it. Even Peter never made a change until the Lord made it so plain to him that the wayfaring man, though he be a fool, could not err therein. Now let's move on to the commission in Luke. And we have this commission in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 47. This commission is different from that recorded in Matthew and in Mark. And it is given after he opened their understanding so that they might comprehend the scriptures. Verse 45. And then he spoke this. Luke 24, 46. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." As the Lord spoke this, there were Israelites in every nation, scattered all over the known world. This is why repentance and remission of sins was to be proclaimed among all nations. This was not an order to proclaim God's salvation-bringing message to all men without distinction or exception. Those who heard this did not understand it this way. The very ones whose understanding had been opened so they could comprehend it. Peter did not understand it this way. It would take a spectacular vision thrice repeated before Peter would go to even one Gentile household. Now, with these facts before us, we are ready to approach the Acts dispensation. About 6.5 centuries before the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. Get that, about 650 years before Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, the prophet Habakkuk, anticipating the dispersion of Israel among the nations, declared that a time would come when God would work a work of such incredible nature among the dispersed that his hearers would not believe it, even if he told them about it. And that's in Habakkuk 1 and verse 5. "Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were told you." Now this prophecy still awaits its final and definitive fulfillment. However, there was a precursory fulfillment in the Acts period. And Paul's words in Acts 13, verses 40 through 41 prove this. When Paul said, "Beware therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you." The Israelites who lived in the Acts period in the land of Israel and those scattered among the nations not only heard what God was doing, but also saw what he was doing. They were the objects of and witnesses to a work of God such as men had never seen before nor since. That 33 years, of which the book of Acts is the history, stands out above all other periods of divine activity. The most careful study and thought needs to be given to those divine purposes and operations that made the Acts period so unique. This is a sorely neglected study. It has long been the purpose of most theologians to minimize, depreciate, and stultify the truth concerning the work God was doing in the Acts period. This has been done both wittingly and unwittingly. The actual history of this time has been rewritten by commentators on X. They are determined to see nothing in this period of time except the founding and development of the Christian church. They read this into every passage and interpret it into every event. They even translate so that it will be found throughout this period. They minimize everything that belongs to the Acts period, and then magnify everything that belongs to Christendom today so that they both may meet on a common level and one be a continuation of the other. Thus, they insist that it was, quote-unquote, the church that began at Pentecost. And then they make the organized religious institutions seen on every hand to be the church, the outgrowth of what began at Pentecost, and that is not the truth. In fact, they make the ecclesia of God. And the word church does not honestly translate any word in the New Testament, even as Martin Luther himself declared of the German word Kirk. Ecclesia means the outcalled ones, and we'll study that later before beginning our own exposition of Acts. But theologians make the ecclesia of God of the Acts period to be simply church members. And then they make the church members of today to be the outcalled ones of God, the divinely commissioned and inspired heralds of that time are made to be nothing more than preachers and pastors. And then preachers and pastors of today are made to be men with a divine commission. An apostle such as Paul is made to be a missionary, and his travels are made to be missionary journeys. The inspired proclamations of the apostle are made to be sermons. And the chief purpose of these men is said to have been the founding of churches, the setting up of religious organizations. All the great work that these men did is something we could also do if we just had the faith. Thus it is that the high is made low, and the low is made high. And everything that happened in the Acts period is made to be the same as the denominational programs of today. Even Dr. C.I. Schofield fell into this trap. He gave as paragraph headings in his Schofield Reference Bible such titles in Acts as The First Church, The State of the Church at Jerusalem, The Power of the Holy Church, The First Deacons, The First Missionaries, The Church at Antioch, Elders Appointed in Every Church, Paul's First Missionary Journey, The Founding of the Church at Thessalonica, and The Founding of the Church at Corinth. I believe that this is wrong. I do not believe that God's program and purpose in the Acts period is in any way at all comparable to what men are doing today in the churches. And we will continue our study in the character of the Acts period in our next message.
Do we strive for clarity in Scripture? Then we must accept that what we are reading has to find its place in the unfolding revelation of God. When it is and to whom it is we are reading about that God has for us to discover. If we strive to be students of God's Word, as Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, Scripture must be rightly divided. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on the Divine Commissions. On our next program, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the flow of truth with the character of the Acts period. Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that the more you study God's Word, the more you know and love God. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other material Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also send out a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on this mailing list. You can also write to us with Bible questions or comments. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to the Word of Truth Ministry, P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. Although we always appreciate your financial support, you will never be solicited for funds in any way when you write to us, so feel free to contact us. This program has been brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry. I've been your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long for now. We look forward to seeing you next week on Knowing God in the Word.